Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? I would really love to see more folks engaged that way. There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. You can put prayer requests in there or engage with the others in the group in whatever the topic of conversation is. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Speaking of catholicsportsradio.net, hopefully you know by now that that was built for me by the folks at Merchantside Marketing Group, who I highly recommend for either your website needs or for your marketing needs. Merchantside Marketing Group is the name of their company, and I've kind of joked with the owner of their company, who you've heard me say is a Christian. I've told him before that he's so proud of the award-winning websites that they've done that I feel that he leaves out the great marketing work that they do. They have done some of my promotional materials for Catholic Sports Radio, the layout and design, and I've been very happy with that work too, in addition to the website. So if you have needs that are not web-based, but they can help with the marketing side, by all means, get in touch. Look for several of their ads throughout the CatholicSportsRadio.net website, so you can go over to the Merchantside Marketing Group website, look around and see all that they do, and get in touch with them. And of course, do tell them that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We are into October now. The 2021 Major League Baseball regular season ended yesterday, and that's always a stressful time for players, coaches, and fans as teams come down the stretch trying to secure a postseason berth or miss the playoffs altogether. And in the latter case, some worry sets in about possible job loss. Meanwhile, the first 4 weeks of the NFL season have already played out, meaning that their season is already a quarter of the way complete, and the last place teams and their fans are already getting quite uneasy. And of course, away from sports, we all have been experiencing some real trying times of our own in various shapes and sizes, different forms. It's very easy to let all this overwhelm you and get bogged down in thinking loss instead of victory. But we can and should look to the Bible for encouragement, and specifically Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, where we hear in verses 28 and 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." Friends, bring your troubles to the Lord, who has already won victory for us. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the founder and president of Fierce Athlete, Inc. She played Division I soccer at UConn and is involved in competitive rowing. Her sports participation background also includes ice hockey as well as track and field. She has worked for Catholic nonprofits and has a master's in Catholic psychology and has been pursuing certification in strength and conditioning and theology of the body. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Samantha Kelly.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. Hello, everyone. Great to be here.
Thank you, Samantha. Your parents, your sisters, yourself, it was a very sports-oriented household that you grew up in. Where was this? What city and state? And presumably it was a Catholic household?
Yeah, I grew up Catholic in Simsbury, Connecticut. Very athletic family. My mom was a, three-sport varsity athlete in high school. Would have gone on if she had the opportunity at that time. And my dad played college soccer. So definitely both a faith-filled family, but also a sports-driven family as well.
Nice, nice. I mentioned that your parents and your sisters contributed to there always being sports around you. But when you were a kid, who was influencing you spiritually? Did you attend a Catholic school and maybe it was one or more teachers there, or was it one or more priests at your church, or maybe was it your parents?
Primarily my parents. I actually went to public school.
Okay.
So my parents really laid that foundation for me. And, you know, at the time you don't really realize the depth of it until I needed it later in life, but definitely my parents. And then we had a great parish priest that I grew up with for years that my family was close to. So him as well.
Awesome. Awesome. In high school, you played soccer, ice hockey, and track, and won 9 state championships, and you were an all-state athlete. I've got to believe that sports was far and away the number one priority in your life during your high school years, meaning probably ahead of your studies, and I'm guessing more of a priority than your faith life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep, it was sports first, and everything followed. I mean, I pursued excellence in school, and, you know, I viewed my faith as part of what made me a good person. But yeah, I was pretty sports driven, doing that all year round, trying to compete at the highest level.
So you got what was a dream come true for you in terms of college soccer.
Yeah. So hometown kid got an opportunity to go play at the University of Connecticut, which is just a huge deal. And they were a top 25 program at the time. So it had been a dream of mine to play Division I soccer and to really be able to play at UConn. I grew up watching those games, you know, so to be given that opportunity to be that role model for young women like myself was such a blessing.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Unfortunately, you ended up with an injury that kept you out of the sport that you loved for over a year. Talk about what that did to you mentally.
Yeah, well, if you'd asked me who I was an athlete. And suddenly, my senior year of high school, I blew out my knee. I tore my ACL, LCL, and meniscus. I was actually told I'd never play again.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty stubborn and worked really hard to come back, but it was 13 months before I was on the field again, and really another 2.5 years before I actually was playing at the level that I needed to be. But in that time, you know, I was that identity was ripped from me because I was sitting on the bench and I was rehabbing, and as a result, I ended up pretty miserable, pretty empty, and you know, started caring a lot about and defining myself instead of as an athlete by what other people thought of me. So that led to, you know, trying to fit in with my team, which meant partying. It led to, you know, I'd feel great if my coach complimented me in practice that day. And if he critiqued me or ignored me, I was miserable. And so I was basing my identity on a lot of other people's opinions. And that was just, that was a lot of up and downs and a pretty tough time.
So let me just circle back here. I want to make sure I'm understanding the timeline. So I'm guessing that it had already been decided that you were going to UConn to play soccer before your senior year of high school. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was recruited a little late. So I was actually set to go to Villanova. And yeah, UConn came fall of my senior year, which is very late. And after a visit, you know, just fell in love with it. So ended up deciding to go to UConn.
But clearly they recruited you, you accepted, then the injury happened, and then you went there and kind of sat around moping and partying and all that stuff before you ever actually got onto the field wearing a UConn jersey.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, okay. I just wanted to make sure I had the sequence of events right. So listeners, you can tell the place in her life where Samantha was at that point in time. She did have a reversion to the Catholic faith following what she calls a radical encounter with our Lord. But before I have her talk about that, I mentioned this last week and feel that it bears repeating whether you heard that episode or not. I want to invite your participation in my Catholic Sports Radio ministry through means that I probably should have started talking about a long time ago. I realized that every week when I tell you about the different costs that I'm having to try to cover out of my own pocket, since I don't get any income from doing this and don't have any sponsors, I'm really only giving you one option as to how you can be a part of what I've been doing here for more than 2.5 years now. And while I do certainly still ask you to consider supporting this show financially with a one-time contribution through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, or by getting in touch with me through the contact section to ask for the address to mail a check, I also invite you, or maybe someone you know that would be a fit, to consider becoming a sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio. I also mentioned last week that I was talking to some folks in a few different locations about coming to be a guest speaker. If you have a church event, a parish function, a men's conference, or even a Catholic school event, or maybe a sports night where my ministry and my background in pro and Olympic sports, and of course the Catholic faith would be a good fit, I would love to come and talk to your parishioners, your members, your team, your staff, teachers, students, whoever it might be. There are places on CatholicSportsRadio.net that say request Bruce as a speaker that you can utilize to get the conversation started. Whether a financial contribution through the Donate to CSR button or mailing a check, becoming a sponsor, or having me come be a speaker, I'm truly grateful for your prayerful support of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, not to mention, obviously, everyone who listens and subscribes to the show. Samantha, go ahead and share the story that I alluded to about your reversion to the Catholic faith.
Sure. So, yeah, like I said, I showed up to UConn sitting the bench. And even when I came back, it was another couple of years as far as playing at the level I needed to be. You know, rehab takes time, and I would encourage any of our injured listeners to just be patient with the process. But I'll fast forward to my junior year. It was preseason. And, preseason's just, it's kind of the worst. It's the best, but, you know, you're putting in long hours. You're with your team constantly. And it was a Sunday night, and I had, you know, I had just had it. I'd had it with my team. I'd had it with how I wasn't, you know, I was starting to play a bit, but, you know, it wasn't going super well. And I just thought to myself, how can I escape preseason? And I was like, I can go to Mass. My coaches will let me go to Mass. And up to this point, I'd go to Mass when it was convenient, but I wasn't going regularly. And so I went to Mass. It's early August, and I was one of the only students there because the students weren't back on campus yet. And there was this girl that got up to do the readings, and I remember thinking to myself, who does this girl think she is? But it was because she had the joy that I was seeking, and it was so apparent. Come to find out, that girl was a focused missionary. It was their first day on campus ever. And, she introduced herself to me after Mass. I went back to Mass the next week just to try to see her again. Something about her drew me to her, and found out she was a missionary. And she invited me to join her Bible study. And at that point, I was willing to try anything. So I joined her Bible study, but still led a very double life that fall semester. And that winter, she invited me to go to a Focus conference. And I told her no four times. on the fifth time, she cornered me in the library during finals. I was stressed, miserable. And she said that she had saved money for me since the day she met me, and that she wanted me to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I felt like I couldn't say no.
Wow.
So I kind of got punked into going to this conference. And, it was the best decision I ever made. You know, I showed up in Florida, there's 2,000 college students. And I just said, all right, Lord, you got 4 days, which is a dangerous prayer. and I went to a much needed confession, which is the key. And then I hadn't really been to adoration before, which is, you know, where they take Jesus and in the Eucharist and put him on display. And it was during adoration, literally in an instant, that I had a radical encounter with him. I encountered the true presence of Christ. And I knew in that moment that I wasn't defined by my athletic talent or, you know, my lack of playing time at this point or my injury. I was just loved as I was. And the realization of that, I mean, that changed everything and gave me just the freedom to be who I was called to be. But then to go forth and share my faith with my teammates, to lead a Bible study, to pray with them, to really make it my mission to bring them the joy that I had been brought.
Wow. Wow. Outstanding. Outstanding. And so here is someone who came into UConn thinking of themselves as soccer player, soccer player, soccer player, and you have this reversion experience, and then you actually turned down an opportunity to play soccer internationally and went to the University of Texas. Share with the audience about what you did there.
Yeah, so I looked at this missionary that had given up 2 years of her life, and as a result, my life was infinitely changed. And I decided, well, it was the Lord asked, I guess, me to do the same. So I went on to become a Focus/Varsity Catholic missionary and was sent to the University of Texas, where I was for 2.5 years. working amongst, national championship level athletes, to really share the faith with them and help them realize, that they are more than their performance, or they're more than just an athlete. They're so much more in the eyes of the Lord.
So just thinking back to earlier in the interview, when you said that you went to UConn, you weren't playing soccer, you had the injury, and you were identifying yourself solely as a soccer player, you started to turn to the party college life. If somebody would have told the Samantha Kelly at a college party that, hey, you're going to end up being at the University of Texas as a missionary, what would she have said at the time?
I probably would have laughed. And I think there probably would have been a self-doubt, like, no, I'm not good enough for that. But again, the Lord's mercy is deep, and his love for us is deep, and he can take anyone, no matter how far we are away from him, and call them with just a slight opening, call them to himself and use them. I mean, he's used me despite my weaknesses, to really, to be a missionary to other people. And that's humbling, but that's also just such a testament to him and to his power.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. And Samantha, bear with me as I read through this list. We don't have time to get into all of these, but you did 2 mission trips to St. Lucia, 1 to Calcutta, India. Plus, you made pilgrimages to Lourdes, Fatima, a bunch of places in Italy, Rome, the Vatican, Assisi, Naples, Florence, and even Our Lady of Guadalupe. What sticks out the most for you out of all that I just read from that list? Maybe one experience that really jumped out at you.
Yeah, definitely Calcutta, India. I brought a group of college students there for 5 weeks. And, after that trip, I was never more convinced that I needed to be a missionary in America. And I mean, every day we'd walk to the mother house, and there'd be 2 boys, probably 6 and 8, sleeping on the street, one using a sack of potatoes or sand, and then the other using a brick as a pillow. We'd see them every morning. That's where they slept. So, we encountered utter poverty, but these people, despite not having anything, they had such a joy and such a sense of community. And, Mother Teresa said the greatest poverty is spiritual poverty. And when I look at America, when I look at the female athletes that I've been working with, that I continue to work with, there's such an isolation, and there's such a spirit of depression and anxiety that exists in their hearts. And I was never more convinced that that's where my mission needed to be, was amongst these women, to show them the beauty of who they are as daughters of God.
And for the audience, I want you to just stop for a moment here and think about a couple of things that Samantha has said, because you might know someone who is a college student that you're praying for because they're partying and they're not devoting time to their faith. You might know someone else who has a college student. Maybe you don't yourself, but you know someone that has a college student, and you're all praying for that college student to turn around in the way that Samantha described that she did. And I want you to hear what is possible, because Samantha talked about the fact that she went from that to being a focused missionary at the University of Texas. And then when I read off that list of all these trips that she took, and she picked out Calcutta, India, she said, I led a trip. So it was to the point where now she's been so changed that she's the one taking people there. And you hear in her own words what she experienced there. So there's great hope, and please continue praying for whoever those people are. I know this is resonating with one or more of you out there, and just take hope in everything that Samantha is testifying to. Samantha, talk about working with the Theology of the Body Institute.
Yeah, so my 5th year as a missionary, so I was on campus for 2.5 years, and then I became a regional leader, so I got moved to Philadelphia and oversaw about 8 campuses. It was during that time that my spiritual director encouraged me to go to a course with the Theology of the Body Institute. And I'd say outside of my encounter with Jesus, that was probably the most transformational experience of my life. I really believe that this teaching on what it means to be male and female, on sexuality, on femininity, masculinity, is really the antidote to our times. And I looked at my own wounds that still existed in my heart, not believing I was feminine, for example, because I was an athlete, And that was the anecdote. And so I went on, you know, got this call to start this nonprofit, Fierce Athlete. But while I was doing all the logistics for that, I went on to work at the Theology of the Body Institute for 2 years and really just study. I ran logistics for them, but sat in on all their courses and just absorbed the beauty of John Paul II's teaching for my own heart, but then also for, you know, my future work with Fierce Athlete and with female athletes.
And so I'm going to say in closing, but I do want to give you plenty of time to talk about this, because I, by all means, would love for you to share with the audience all about Fierce Athlete, which I mentioned in the intro that Samantha is the founder and president of. And before you dive into what it's all about, I'm going to be a little over analytical here and ask, is it an acronym that FIERCE seems to always be written in all capital letters, or am I reading too much into that?
It is an acronym. There are some really big words behind it. Femininity, identity, embodiment, receptivity, Catholicism, and encounter. I don't broadcast that because they're really big words, but they're really the fundamental truths of what it means to be a woman, of what it means to be a human being, body and soul, the beauty of our faith, and then to encounter others, to share this message.
But please expand more about Fierce Athlete and some of what you're talking about, because it stuck with me before when you said the identity that you gave to yourself as an athlete, meaning that you couldn't be feminine, is what I heard.
Yeah, and I think a lot of athletes believe that. So the mission of Fierce Athlete is to promote true identity and femininity in female athletics. And, you know, because we have been created body and soul, and because we have been created male and female, the fact that I was created a woman makes me feminine. And we have to be super careful with our language these days. Now, I can reject that femininity or embrace it, but the fact I was created a woman makes me feminine. And the height of my femininity revealed through my body is my receptivity and my ability to bear forth life. The height of masculinity revealed through their bodies is their sacrifice. Both sacrifice and receptivity can be lived out in sport. And it's very apparent. So every time, you know, if you compare men's basketball and women's basketball, for example, men are a little bit more individualistic, driving to the hoop, dunking the ball, height of their masculinity, sacrifice. Women were more receptive, so we're actually more team-oriented, so there's a lot more passing. The game's a little prettier, but that says something inherent about us as women. And so, Fierce Athlete, you know, looks at the issues that women deal with, for example, feeling unfeminine or body image or any of the struggles that you're dealing with, and seeks to help women heal from those wounds. You know, we have a podcast. I am all over the country speaking and running camps and clinics and retreats for athletes, working with primarily high school and college athletes right now, though I do a little middle school. And then I'm working on a transitional course for athletes, former athletes, right now. But it's a lot, but it's such a blessing.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I want to back up, because there's something that you said in there that I know goes back to when you came back to UConn after going to that conference in Orlando, which is, tell the listeners about how you changed your interactions with your UConn soccer teammates in terms of encouraging them to not only pray together, but to offer up their play for the kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of my favorite things to teach athletes to do is the power of offering up. So, you know, I went back and my mission was that every teammate would know that they were loved. And for some of them, that was inviting them back to Mass. And for some, that was picking them up at 3 a.m. But for those that were interested in prayer and in Bible study, I began to pray for them through my play. So Tuesdays was conditioning day, for example. And if we were going to get on the line to run sprints, say we had 10 sprints, I would go down the line. I'd start with the girl next to me. Okay, Lord, this sprint is for Sarah because she doesn't know you. And I would run that sprint as hard as I could. And that was my offering. That was my prayer for Sarah.
Wow.
Then I'd go to the next girl. This is for Gabby, whose mom is sick right now. And I'd run that sprint as hard as I could for Gabby. And so every practice, every act, you know, within practice became a prayer. And that is the beauty of us being body and soul, and our Lord you know, allowing us to unite our sufferings with his passion, because he sweat blood and he had trouble breathing and his muscles cramped. And in a very similar but small way, we go through the same thing when we're working out. And so we can make those sufferings a prayer for those around us. And I saw the fruit. You know, we had 12 girls praying before games and in Bible study, and God really, really blessed that time and really blessed my teammates.
That's awesome. And I love every minute of it, but I do want to challenge you with, I know it didn't happen overnight.
No.
So what about the girls that you came back all fired up from Orlando? And I want to pray with all these girls, and all of a sudden the ones that, and I'm winking at you, I know what you're saying when you say you're picking them up at 3 a.m. What about the girls that didn't want to hear anything about Samantha wants to pray with us? What is this about? How did you reach them?
Sure. You know, our Lord guarantees that we will be persecuted for our faith. And again, my mission was to love them where they were at. So you kind of sensed who didn't want any part of this. And so that was more of a, those are the ones I really prayed for. And, you know, I may never see the fruit of that. But, you know, you have to respect their boundaries and you just offer an invitation. The invitation was always there for everyone. The prayer was there for everyone. But, you know, you have to meet them where they're at. And by loving them or picking them up at 3 a.m., like that act of love, you know, I saw maybe brought them one step closer to an possibility of, well, why would Sam do that? And really pointing in every opportunity I could, pointing that love towards our Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm laughing because I'm thinking, audience, that Samantha's in the great physical shape that she's in because maybe she ran a little bit extra for the girls that really didn't want the prayer. So she's able to keep herself in shape and devote extra prayer for those girls that way.
Absolutely.
Samantha, thank you for everything that you're doing for the kingdom, and thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And so, listeners, as a result, let's close this week's episode with a player prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well but fairly. Let competition make me strong but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.